Catholic girl, love the mass, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday morning, June 27th, 2021. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Now, the trick to a long drive is the hips. You got to throw with the hips. That's the secret behind it. Nobody tells you that.
How do you get your
welcome
hips
to the disc golf channel, guys? Yeah, welcome to the Disc Golf Channel, guys. I'll give you all the tips. Stay tuned.
And our other guests are Scott Williamson from Exploring Something. I can't see the rest of it.
Exploring Epistemology.
Exploring
Epistemology.
Epistemology. There it is. I had shrunk my window down and cut it off. And Dread Pirate Higgs.
Ahoy.
And George Ahoy. Brown, 2.5. Hey, George.
Oh, hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
And Digital Freethought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faith, gods, holy books, and superstition. Wombat, nice. What's our topic for today?
God speaks to me. And we're going to be talking about that the entire show.
Say what?
God speaks to me. People who are convinced they have a direct line of communication with God in like a mental voice inside their heads. And we had a really interesting conversation about that. I want to delve into that a little bit and maybe talk about other examples we may have heard from other people who may have told us the same thing. But before we get into all of those meat and potatoes, I'm going to throw it up to our own Dread Pirate Higgs with our weekly invocation. Oh, he's changing his hats. Okay, there we go.
Our noodly Lord, who art in a colander, El Dante be thy noodles. Thy blood be rum, thy sauce be yum, with meat as it is with vegetables. Give us this day our garlic bread, and forgive us our cussing, as we put up with those who cuss against us. And lead us not into ketoism, but deliver us some carbs. For thine are the noodles, and the sauces, and the grog, whenever and ever. Amen.
Dred, you do weddings, right?
He had his headphone off.
Dred, you do weddings, right?
Yes.
If I ever get married, I'm going to have to fly you down to a nice place in America so you can do our proceeding, right?
Sounds good.
But that's too good. Hey, catching up with everybody, we're going to do a quick... You won't even manage it in how fast it is. This is going to be so quick. And then we'll get right on the topic. You won't believe how quick this thing will be. How's everybody doing? George Brown, I'm so happy to see you. How you been? You're not lagging. You're on the top of the technical electronic spectrum. Like you're standing on like the master class of Silicon Valley right now. How are you coming?
Well, I'm living on the edge here, running Linux as my operating system on my computers.
Nice.
And that is living on the edge for me.
That is on the edge.
Linux not being corporate is a tower of Babel. And I won't get into a lot of detail about this, but it's really like learning Linux for me is like holding onto my chair and, you know, holding onto a bucking horse. So anyway, it's an adventure.
Anyway.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, in response to what Scott just said, you asked him how he got into music, and I just want to restate what I said last week in a different way, that my mother, when I was 6 years old, my mother gave me a choice. You can have music or you can have religion.
Right.
You know, and I said, what kind of choice is that? So
that's a fantastic choice.
I studied music for the next 22 years.
Yeah,
hey, that was George, the outcome of that.
Speaking of, yeah, I see that Casio keyboard behind you. Have you started having more cracks at it?
No, I haven't. that was the first instrument I played was piano. And I played it for a year. And then I switched to woodwinds. Now I'm finding that I'm being drawn back to the keyboard as a desire. And so I have to go back to the very beginning, you know, take baby steps. Sure, I've always wanted a keyboard.
Yeah.
I've always wanted a keyboard. And, you know, this one just about dropped into my lap. It's an old one. I just want it to sound like a piano.
Yeah.
I mean, it does all this stuff, but I just want to, you know, play piano.
I started with keyboard myself, and then I fell in love with guitar. And now I live in a room swamped with guitars, and it's so easy for me to make music on it. But going back to piano is, I think about when I play guitar, I still think about it with a piano mentality, like in terms of how all the notes
yes.
are out and the chord structure.
This makes, like, yeah.
Yeah.
This makes a lot of sense to me, Tyrone. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I studied in college was music psychology.
Ooh.
And that was a mind-blowing experience for me, you know, because I really feel that in conservatories, we should be teaching music psychology as the first option and then music theory after that.
Interesting. We're going to have to talk about that more. I'd love to know more about it.
It's, you know, it's like it just keeps coming back to me over and over and over again.
Speaking of things keep coming back to you over and over again, what about the tide of the high seas? Dread Pirate, can you tell us about that?
I can indeed.
What's coming on the high seas with you, matey?
Well, just recently, Australia, our sister church there, Tanya Watkins is the captain, and she had just gone before the South Australian Commission. Just let me bring it up here. The South Australian Civil and Administrative Tribunal. I'm just going to read this little news item here, which is acronym is SACAT. Her case number 2019/SA001521, filed by Australian citizen Tanya Watkins. And this is something we're going to be, we have a template letter now that churches around the world will be submitting to their respective Australian ambassadors or Australian consulates in support of their case. As a result of the case, SACAT decided to deny Tanya Watkins registration of a nonprofit Pastafarian religious organization on the grounds that Pastafarianism is allegedly a parody religion. This decision, as well as the basis for its adoption, caused some bewilderment in me as a believing Pastafarian. Pastafarianism is a true religion recognized in many countries and having followers all over the world. How can a religion that is real in one country be a parody in another? How, in principle, can a religion be recognized as a parody? Faith in the Creator is a purely personal matter, and a person from the outside cannot assess the reality of personal religious beliefs. Right. This is precisely what is laid down in the principle of freedom of religion, without which a free democratic society is inconceivable. I ask you to assist in the reconsideration of the Tanya Watkins case and in the adoption of a decision on the registration of a non-profit Pastafarian religious organization in Australia. With all my heart, we wish you and all the Australian people happiness, peace, prosperity, and delicious and nutritious food. Ramen. Nice.
Ramen.
Ramen. Ramen.
Yeah.
So we had a meeting of the International Pastafarian Captains Conclave, which is the captains of all the churches around the world.
Sure.
And so we've developed this, and we're going to be sending we're going to paste a little noodle, like maybe a little macaroni on each letter, and send them off to our consulates and try and get it done.
Man, there's a thought. Instead of, in terms of religious iconography, instead of the crucifix, which in my opinion is just offensive, even if Jesus came down and be like, don't you know I hate those? Don't you know I really, really hate those? I hate those. None of you guys are coming.
That brings back bad memories.
Yeah. Where are the atheists at? You guys aren't wearing those things. You're with me. Guys, come on. Why not just like a little macaroni around the neck? And I'd be like, there's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah. Anyway, so best of luck. You're fighting a good fight, Dread Pirate. I want you to keep it up.
Dread Pirate, can you elaborate on that a little bit? Give us some an overview of the case that's going on in Australia?
Well, in Australia, it works a little differently than it does here in Canada. Like, for instance,
it's upside down.
We have the
upside down.
It's upside down,
and they don't apologize.
And the water goes the other way. It's just ridiculous. So here in BC, like our church is a registered society under the Societies Act in British Columbia, and as long as you meet the criteria, it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you know it's not about hate mongering or molesting children or whatever. You know, it's you're good to go. In Australia, it's a different, clearly a different thing. And so in South Australia, it actually, you have to go before like a commission who then, you know, looks over your application and then decides whether it merits recognition as a not-for-profit organization, religious or not. And so this is the decision that came down, which she's now... which we need to support her in. So,
yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting because, so a couple of the members of the IPCC who were on with me yesterday, the head of the Taiwanese church, so they're recognized in Taiwan.
Taiwan, you are so with it.
They are.
They just legalized gay marriage like earlier this year, too. You guys got something good going on there.
And Russia. Russia's got a registered church. There you go. And of course, in Canada, we don't. So while we all shake our fist at Putin for messing with democracy,
Putin's still bad. Hey, but even bad people can do good things, right?
That's right, exactly.
Even a broken watch is right twice a day.
Huh? That's right, exactly. Yep.
Okay. Where can we find out more about this Dread Pirate? Is there a link or search that we can look up?
Yeah, you could probably just go to www.venganza.org.
No, you're going to have to give us the Google search. No one's going to type that in. No one ever does that. No one does that.
Type in Flying Spaghetti Monster and you'll get all the links.
Perfect. Fantastic. Yes. Okay, right. Cool. Doubter 5. Listen, I've been playing disc golf. I've been working on my swings. I just did my first 300-foot throw last night, and I'm feeling really good.
Can you do that?
Oh man! Imagine throwing a rock 300 feet. That's crazy. But to do it with the disc, it takes a while. Most people can do pros can do like 600, but like to be able to make it that milestone, I'm happy. And I've only been doing.
I don't like to brag, but
talk to me. Talk
to me. In golf, you can hit a ball 300 yards.
Good point. Well, good point. Tuesday. There's that.
Have to get your hips into it. So.
Oh yeah, you do have to get your hips. Hips are the key. How have you been, my friend?
This week I've been kind of sick. I'm still a little under the weather. I think it's a summer cold. I don't have any temperature or anything, but you might tell it in my voice. It's a little low, even for me. but I'm getting along. I hope it just lasts the regular time and goes away. So we'll see.
Yeah, isn't it better that it's not COVID though?
Hope it's not the variant or anything like that. But
no. But like you already got vaccinated. You're good. I'm glad. Yeah. Like,
well, you can still get the variant if you're vaccinated.
I mean, we can talk about that later. But like, I felt a little sick today, and it was just good to feel ill without the concern of, oh my gosh, is this right. What's happening right now,
right?
We have to start calling work and vaccinating for the next 2 weeks. Dread, what's up?
I just wanted to make a point there about the variant. One thing that some people don't understand is that, say you have Moderna or Pfizer and you're 95% resistant or immune, whatever, or vaccinated, you know, it's still, you were previously only 1% likely to get it. So now it's 5% of the 1%. So it's not like you're 5% likely to get the variant. It's you're 5% of 1%.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yes. Yeah. 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 So it's very slim.
Very, very helpful. Very, very helpful to still get vaccinated. All right, guys, you know what else is really helpful? Is talking to God through my brain with a direct connection to the supreme all-powerful being. Guys, you wouldn't believe, I actually went over and played some disc golf with my friend. We did nine holes together. I had two over par at the end of nine holes. As a beginner, that's pretty good. That means you did the whole course and you only have to throw two extra putts. That's pretty, pretty good. He got plus eight. I'm going to elbow him a little bit. He got plus eight. But I got a pretty good score. We go out to McAllister's, which is a deli, and we have a conversation and we're just talking. And I'm trying not to make the conversation about something religious. So I'm talking about literally anything else. Yet this guy keeps going to philosophy and then religion and then the one true base of all truths. To base all of morality on. I'm like, I'm going to have to tackle this. It's going to have to be a thing. So I pull up my phone and ask, may I record this conversation? And he's like, yeah, sure. Of course. I'd love to talk about this. And I'm like, great. And so I put on my Socratic examination hat and we're going to start to talk about how he knows for sure that the base of all morality is given to us by God. And his answer was very straightforward. My God talks to me. He says, like, my God speaks to me. And that's how I know what's true and what's not true and what's moral and what's not moral. It's like, I have that direct connection with God. And I was like, this is fascinating because, you know, I can't tell you how many churches we drove past just to get from this golf park up to the deli. And how amazing would it be if we could figure out a way to be like, actually, it's this one God. He's talking to this person. Watch, we'll roll four dice and the God will tell him what the dices will be before you even roll it, and boom, 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 perfect. And we can test this as many times as you want. And yet God can tell him what his name is, and we can put him on a lie detector, MRI. We can make sure that this is the guy and this is the God, and we can save ourselves so much frustration and confusion among all these different denominations. We can finally get Pastafarians and wear their hats if the God wants it or whatever. But we'll know which book is the right book, which God is the right God, and everybody will be so happy. And think of all the wars that'll stop as a result of this. This guy sitting me in front of the deli is the key to answering all of humanity's problems, at least on a religious front, right now, right here. And I'm like, I know you're a great guy. This is awesome. How would you like to just test this out for like 15 minutes? We can just do it right now. Maybe this, because I'm a scientist, you're a scientist. Let's do it. His response, well, I don't want to test it. Who am I to test the voice, to ask it to do something for me? And I'm like, why would you not want to test it? What is the harm that can come from testing something that's true? Because at the end of the day, you just have more veracity that it is in fact true. Only lies, in my opinion, are afraid of being tested. The truth wants to be verified. The truth is there to be tested and rigorously so. Lies don't want to be tested. Lies have, well, not today. I'll call you back. My Canadian girlfriend is on the phone with me and I'll come back. Dread Part, you may not know this, but there's a stereotype in America where you say Canadian girlfriend as like, yeah, that's not a real girlfriend.
Nice.
Anyway, yeah. And I have a girlfriend, but she lives in Canada. It's like, yeah, you don't have a girlfriend. So, Doubter 5, I'd love for you to weigh in on this. The idea of God speaks to you, why wouldn't someone want to test that if they have a direct voice in their head?
Well, it's built into the religion, having been a Christian. Growing up, that you can't test God. You don't test God. And now that we're atheists, we understand why they say that, because there's no test that will prove that God exists. So don't test him. What gets me, I'd like to make 2 points, is how do they know that the voice that they hear in their head is God? They believe in a worldview that has several entities that could also put a voice in their head. Angels,
the devil,
soul, somebody else's soul, Satan,
demons.
It could be any of those. How does he identify the voice of God? Two, can you imagine how dangerous it is for you to believe that anything that happens to pop into your head is the voice of God? I mean, you cannot disobey on the threat of hell. So you have to do anything that pops into your head. It's just a very dangerous situation for you.
Rob a bank.
Yeah.
I didn't say that.
Yeah. Kill your son.
There are some horror stories that are true of, like, you know, moms actually doing that to the kids because they had a psychosis where they believed.
But even Abraham.
And I wouldn't say he's the poster child of good mental health either, or good parenting. But as far as God goes, like, if we're comparing Abraham to God, Abraham, not as bad of a dad. Surprising, right. All things surprising, yeah. Right? Scott, I'd love to get your feedback. The idea of God speaks to me. Have you ever spoken to anybody like that? And as a Jehovah's Witness, did you ever have a similar experience?
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that there's those kind of experiences are possible, that those are from the devil, because the Bible is the special revelation from Jehovah, and that was enough. So for them, their belief system is, you know, these people that tell you they speak to God, they're just of the devil. Ignore them. But as for, say, like evangelicals and a lot of people like that that say they speak to God, it's quite common. But it's always weird to me. Why does God, when you hear about people talking about God spoke to me, he's always telling them to go kill somebody or do something bad. Oh, why doesn't he ever tell them to go
pay your taxes?
Yeah, pay your taxes or go stop telling people that evolution is a religion.
Go outside and pick up some trash. You know,
right?
Like something nice. Something nice. Yeah. Go buy your mom some flowers. It doesn't have to be your birthday or anything.
Yeah.
Just give her some flowers. I'm like, oh, thanks, God. Or, you know, in a weird way, I know this sounds really silly, but we tend to associate hunches or gut feelings and put voices on them ourselves. It's just as easy for us to misconstrue that we're talking to ourselves than it would be for, I imagine, for like the devil to actually be talking to you rather than God. And I feel like even when I'm sitting down in a room, I hear my voices talking to myself. I hear my left brain talking to my right brain. And it's like, I literally want to get my tax, my passport form renewed so I can renew my passport. And my other brain's like, I want to draw. Can we draw instead? It's like, oh, but we got to do the passport stuff. No, I want to make music right now. It's like, oh, geez, I'll do 15 minutes of each, guys. Everyone calm down. Dredd, have you ever had, I'm going to ask this, have you ever had an internal dialogue in your head that kind of surprised you? And does it seem likely that someone can have an experience like that and associate it, if they come from a climate where there is a God belief, associate that with a God speaking to them?
Well, I can't say that I've ever had an internal dialogue that surprised me, because certainly all the information I have access to, I know about. You know, it's not like, you know, it's not like there's some hidden compartment that, you know, I stumbled upon and opened up and went, oh, geez, I What's have that knowledge. I know how to speak Latin. Wow, great. You know, but no, I mean, when we talk about people hearing voices, I mean, you know, schizophrenia, of course, is characterized by the hearing of voices, or that sort of dissociative conversation that happens with what they don't recognize is themselves. Right. It's the sort of the externalization of that internal dialogue. So, you know, the DSM has a pretty good definition of what that's all about. So,
yep.
I would not trust anyone to be confident in any way that conversation they're having with God is something could even be real. All the voices are in our own heads.
I'm gonna throw this question out to George Brown. You're the untainted atheist. In my head, everyone's born an atheist, and you eventually are convinced that a God's true, if you, depending on who your parents are or what place in the world you're living in. You never had that choice. You had the choice, actually, but you chose music. You were left or right, and you went down the music trail. And I'm wondering, you know, sometimes you might be listening to Bach, and you might have like what some people would refer to as a spiritual experience, where you just feel so overwhelmed. And if there was a voice behind that was like, George, I'm God. Keep doing what you're doing, bro. You're all right. Like, if you heard something like that, right? How would you feel? And how would you even know, like, who it was? Do you feel like you have an awareness to know what, if God wanted to talk to you through a voice, would you be able to actually recognize it?
How can I answer you? How can I answer you concisely? I will try.
How are we on time, Larry? How are we on time? Just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Oh, you're on mute, my friend.
I wish that I had a God that said that to me. That would be very nice, you know. It would be comforting to have God tell me this, but God has not deigned to condescend to speak to me in this way. Now, I have known a woman who was schizophrenic, and I admire her, frankly, because of her challenges that she has had to deal with to live in reality, having these voices come at her constantly. And so she has raised the child and, you know, done her best to be a good parent to this child, having these voices coming at her all the time. Right. And so what she has chosen to do, now she's an old woman now, is to take medicine, you know, to take these different medicines that stop the voices in her head.
Wow.
But these medicines have a horrible physical consequence that she has to then live with. Mm-hmm. And she does. So
kind of those are two evils, eh?
Yeah, she'd put up with that just so she would take pills and make her sick just so it doesn't have to do with the sickness she currently has. That's
yes. You know, and she's told me the side effects, and they're so horrible. You know, I have to extend my deepest sympathy and respect to her. So, but on the other hand, I was just looking up, trying to find this fellow named Baruch Goldstein, who God told him to slaughter a whole bunch of people in Israel a few years ago. So he did.
Oh my God!
He followed. He did what God told him to do.
And of course, the people holds up in court.
Yeah.
Well, there was no court. There was no court because the other parishioners beat the bloody hell out of him.
Oh, no.
Right after that, and they killed him. So, wow.
Guys, on that note, how about this? A little touch of justice. We'll take a break. We'll come right back, and we'll go to Scott with some feedback.
Okay. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Synthesizers are getting kind of confusing at this point now, huh?
There's too many, and at first they all sounded the same. So, like, first when I saw it, I was like, here's a synthesizer that makes a sound, be-do-do-do-do, for like $200. Mm-hmm. Then there was one that was like for $500, and it's like, what sounds it make? Be-do-do-do-do. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I was like, one for $1,000. I'm like, what sounds this make? Be-do-do-do-do. I'm like, these all sound the same. And it's like, exactly. No. So I watched some, like, tutorial videos, and then I was like, the other one's like, and like, oh, that's a little different. There's a little of that edge on the bottom, and then it was like, he's like, oh, there's that little spike there. Yeah, we got to make sure we don't stay that one because that's a low quality modulator. We're gonna have to get the ones that have the good modulators on them.
There you go.
Oh, very clear, very sound. Let me turn up the sound on this and see if I can have stereo on there. The panning's pretty good on this.
So
the synth engine is very simple.
Yeah, right. So the synthesizer manufacturers have figured out how to monetize various aspects of the harmonic structure, if I'm hearing you guys right.
Mm-hmm. Very close to that, yeah. And there's different engines, so it's a question of like, okay, so what are you trying to do? Are you trying to cut through a mix? Mm-hmm. Are you trying to be the sound in a song? Because they are very, very different what you want. And I'm like, I had no idea there was this much. And so, like, do I get something that I'll have good with for the next 6 months, or do I get something that I can grow with, you know?
This guy right here.
And do I? What kind of key quality do I want? Do I want weighted keys? Do I just want full size keys? Do I want something that can emulate a piano very well?
Let me weigh in on that for a moment. Yeah, Steinway piano is very special in one way. The keys are. Or the mechanism is resistant to the player. Other pianos don't have that kind of mechanism. Steinway had a patent on this. This means is that if you want to play loud on a Steinway piano, you really have to work at it.
It seems to me the species Homo sapiens carries the chutzpah gene. To think they are the purpose of the universe when they only just arrived on the scene. What's even worse, they bear a curse of believing they're the only form of life to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't bees go to heaven and trees go to heaven? Amoeba, krill, and fleas go to heaven. It's not surprising that they're not the horizon.
This grain of sand upon an infinite beach had been supporting life for trillions of spins. Then along came humans who started assuming that this was where it begins. So profoundly naive, they began to perceive these primates were the only ones to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't worms go to heaven and germs go to heaven? Spiders, snakes, and sperms go to heaven. It's quite expected that they're not resurrected, cause man created God.
If man created Zeus
and the god of the sun,
if man created Shiva
and the god of Abraham,
life. Why one should the only one saved be
the species worst behaved?
You really do want to make sure that your hips engage, that you that your same down, species, and transfer that
Homo sapiens carry
your chest like this, doing this movement. And
Scott's
going to give us all the
purpose of
the
universe when they only just arrived on the scene. What's even worse,
no standing there.
They bear a curse of believing they're the only form of life to never die and go on living
somewhere high up in the sky. Speaking, having God speak to you, and you're talking about, like, is this a
whales go to heaven, snails go to heaven, orangutans and quails go to heaven. They don't think twice about paradise because man created God. So why don't bees go to heaven? Trees go to heaven. Amoeba, krill, and fleas go to heaven. It's not surprising that they're not arising because man created God. So why don't worms go to heaven? And germs go to heaven. Spiders, snakes, and sperms go to heaven. It's quite expected that they're not resurrected because man created God. So why don't bees go to heaven? Trees
example
go to
that
heaven.
I want to give you just to kind of illustrate just how weird and powerful the brain can be. This is like a real life scenario. Back in 2015, there was a German lady. She's a 37-year-old German woman who suffered a traumatic accident as a young woman, and the doctors diagnosed her with cortical blindness caused by damage to the visual processing centers in her brain, said she would never be able to see again.
Wow.
She was totally in the dark. She needed a seeing eye dog to guide her. And she grew accustomed to that, you know, dark life for years, for like decades, right? But then she started to come down with a mental disorder called dissociative identity disorder. And, you know, this thing caused her, one of her, they call alters or personalities, was able to see.
Get out
was
of town.
Able to, yeah, was a, didn't need the seeing eye dog, was able to describe everything perfect. They put her in an MRI. They said that her brain lit up, that she was actually seeing things, and it restored. And the doctors were just amazed, didn't understand how this could even be possible. And, of course, that... this is a really well-known case at this point in that area. But that just kind of lets you know just how powerful the mind can be and how compelling it can be. A person like that, imagine, what if a person like that attributed it to God, how convinced they would be?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, what other explanation is going to provide evidence for not being a god. I mean,
you said the damage was to the brain, but not to the optics. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just to her cortical brain damage. Yeah.
I think the brain has a capability of regrowing certain areas, or repeating certain areas in other areas. You know, if they get damaged, and that may very well have been what happened, and that it created another sight center, as it were.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, when she goes back to any of her other alters or personalities, she's blind again. Mm-hmm. Only on that one altar.
Get out of town. How bizarre is that? Wow.
So strange.
Wow. George, I'd love to hear what you got to say on this.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, man. Hey, I'll tell you this.
Oh, gee. Wait a minute.
I've known people who've had lobotomies, and we know that there are memory components and motor functions that are related to the brain in certain areas. And if you cut them out, oh my gosh, there's a recovery period. And yet, a lot of people, even people who have complete half of their brains taken out, develop motor functions on the other arm again and can still remember things that happened in the past that would normally be associated with that side of the brain. And that was not one of the first times scientists have recorded that, but it was also more proof that a lot of the memories that we have are just our brains coming up with this really great video editing software and being like, okay, so what do you want to wear? A red t-shirt? Okay, sure. Birthday candle with five candles, or birthday cake with five candles? Got it. Good. All right, everybody's here. No, wait, too many people. Let's take them out. Lights, camera, action, guys. And that's your memories. Like, a lot of your memories are essentially just reconstructions that your brain's doing with the sense of confidence that, oh, and this is what happened. And that was, when I read that, that was kind of like shaking. But your brain can compensate and can do it for motor.
Yes, indeed. I was going to say,
what do you got?
The woman I was talking about, one thing that she's been able to do is to recognize the, let's say, the real voices from the fake voices. And she talks back to the fake voices. You know, I know you're not real. Kind of thing.
Wow.
And somehow she's managed to get through her life. She's managed to navigate through this mental chaos.
Good. She talks back to the voices.
She talks back to the voices, but the thing is that she can recognize the falseness of those voices. Yeah. Now, if the people who hear God in their head could do the same thing, I think we'd be okay.
Because, you know, back to the God voice. Baruch, and say, like, hey, who
Baruch
are you? Who are
your Goldstein. Name? You're not real.
Yeah.
Yeah, show me your ID
Baruch
card.
Goldstein, he would not have killed all those people in Israel. Yeah. You know, it's like,
solve this math equation for me. Hey, how about that? What if it's like the next time you get talked to a God, it's like, solve this math problem for me first, and then I will do what you're telling me to do.
And if they solve it, why do people trust a man of the cloth who says he hears God as opposed to themselves hearing God?
Because they demonstrate themselves as an authority figure, and people love authority figures. That's all there is to it. Also, when you speak like this and very clearly and very calmly, people pay attention to you. That's it. Dread Pirate, what do you got?
Yeah. Well, you know, if I heard a voice in my head that said it was God, I would ask him how much change I have in my pocket.
Oh,
if the voice came back and said, and I didn't know,
yes,
you'd be like the thing being surprised by
if you
knowledge,
know,
right?
But,
if I didn't know how much change was in my pocket, and he could tell me, well, you got 3/4, 4 knickers, 2 loonies, and 2 toonies. Yeah, you know, I'd be a little more inclined to think there's something to it.
No, I think you're absolutely onto something really great here. Like, there should just be a preliminary question that you ask the voices that you aren't familiar with before they tell you.
I'd rather go with a lottery number.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So, I brought up this case here, and the person was named BT, the gal in the German in 2015. So, her blindness was what they call a psychogenic blindness. So, it wasn't something done to her visual cortex or her optic nerve or eyes. It was what they call a psychogenic blindness is a type of conversion disorder, a physical condition that cannot be explained by physical damage. And so it wasn't about her brain compensating with other regions of the brain in order to help her see. but just that the, you know, the division of her personality into these different personalities just allowed some of them to access it and others not. So it was still based on a traumatic instance that this all started to develop.
And imagine a person who doesn't understand that, like a person who's experiencing the blindness, who doesn't understand what's really going on. All they know is they're blind, and they're blind all their life or most of their life. Then all of a sudden they have this associative ID that can see it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fascinating to the person. So I guess
for sure,
imagine a person who hears the voice of God. It's kind of similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
Their brain is doing something that they don't understand or have no knowledge of. All they know is I'm hearing this voice. It's compelling as heck. And so I know God exists. So you can kind of understand the logic there, I guess.
Yeah. I can tell you this. We spoke about this in the past. I have voices in my mind that help encourage me to do things that I know are in fact very hard, that feel like I'm being coached through like either hard workouts or focusing during tests or being able to stay calm in situations where I can feel my panic or anxiety go up. I have like a voice that assures me, encourages me. And as long as I have voices like that with that kind of tone, I'm totally fine with them. And I talk back to them too sometimes. But I can also tell you this, Dredd. I also have voices in my head that legitimately make me laugh. Like they know the rules of comedy and they can give me sort of like an expectation and then subvert it in such a way where I'm like, that was funny. What are you thinking about, Ty? I don't want to talk about it.
Write them down, man.
What's going on there? What's going on with that, Ty? It's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. It's just a really funny thing. Just, you just randomly started laughing one day. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
My voice is in my head. I understand that there's a lot of, you know, schizophrenia is a real disease. Paranoia is a real disease. Like there are things that come with having voices in your head that you can control that are very taxing and exhausting. However, if you are fortunate enough to have positive voices in your head that you can put like a mute button on or do not disturb button on, and maybe sometimes when you, like, even when you forget about them, they come back and make you laugh every now and then. That's, in my opinion, like a wonderful thing to have, but demonstration that the mechanics are still there for everybody. And it's just whether or not you have the mental health to have supportive voices or uncontrollable crazy voices that are mean or hostile to you. Like it's still the same thing, where it's the same tools, but it's a completely different tone. It's a question of how you can control that. Doubter five, what can someone who is encouraged to, or what can someone who knows that the voices in their head may not necessarily be God do to actually confirm that? And I don't mean that in so much of like, what kind of tests can they run? I mean, more of like, how can they prepare themselves to realize that it's actually not the God belief? If they already have an inkling belief that like they have that, starting to have enough doubt to be like, if I sit down and flip a coin 10 times, maybe the voice won't talk to me, but maybe I was wrong just because the voice didn't want to talk to me at that time. It's like, can they do to
playing the lottery? You think that the voice might be God, you know, he should know everything. Ask him some questions. Ask some questions that physicists are dealing with, problems of physics. Thing about it is, real help is out there. See a professional, you know, go to a psychologist, schedule some therapy time to discuss it with them, tell them what's going on, and see if you can get a real valuable medical result out of it.
Hey, that's not bad. And if they say there's not a problem and it actually is God, maybe then you can be more confident. But otherwise, they surprise you some pills, maybe you should take them. I did want to go to Dredd because he raised his hand. Dredd, what's up?
Well, just one of our viewers here on the live stream, Dada's Trading Room, he says, I have an internal dialogue, even can do it in two languages. But he doesn't hear voices.
Okay. Does he understand the other language?
We'll see how he responds.
Yeah,
Dottis, thank you for the comment.
Yeah.
George, what's up?
Again, I've forgotten what I was going to say.
You will remember it in 30 seconds flat. I'll throw this out as a fun thing. My mom is hard of hearing. Respecting her privacy, she does have for a period of time an internal sign, which is not like you hear it. It's a nonverbal communication. And if you practice ASL enough or American Sign Language enough, that you will develop cases where you are thinking in signs and not so much with words or text. It's like, I feel the signs that I need to make in order to convey this expression that I'm trying to make. And it's a very interesting thing. George, anything you want to add?
I'll comment.
Go for it.
I was once in a room that had a few deaf people, and they were telling jokes to each other and laughing.
Oh, that's great.
And I wasn't in on it, you know, because I didn't know the sign language.
I've been in a room with deaf people who are yelling at each other, and I was just like,
really,
very awkwardly quiet, and it's just two people like from across the room, and I was just like, oh no, what's going on here? Can we just all get along with each other? Calm down, guys. Be quiet. It's like, no, you're already as quiet as you can get. Okay. All right. So, listen, guys. We're at McAllister's. We had that conversation with, hey, why don't you test it? I know you're a good guy. This definitely resolve a lot of conflict, resolve wars, solve potentially a lot of humanity's problems. And he said, well, I didn't want to test it. And I gave him that whole spiel. And I think at the end of it, in fact, we recorded it, so I don't have to guess. But he said, you know, I really just feel like I'm afraid to test it because there's a chance that if I do test it and it doesn't work, then I'll know that it's not God. And that would be, you know, a life-changing recognition for me. And maybe that's why I'm afraid to test it. And I'm like, I let him sit on that. I didn't like really add anything else after that. But in my head, I feel like that's the root of the issue. Because if you were to take what approach leads to the least number of assumptions? Is it A, he's actually being spoken to by a divine supernatural being that created the entire universe that only speaks to him at certain times and doesn't want to be tested, despite the fact that he's having a one-on-one communication with one of his subjects? Or maybe he was just raised as a Christian and is afraid to test the grounds of his upbringing, really, in a sense, because that will make him leave to ask a lot of uncomfortable questions about the nature of the universe and what would happen to him after he dies, if anything. And it seems that the least assumptive path is the one where it's just based on fear and an unwillingness to ask critical questions, which tends to be the case for a lot of these mysteries. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was an hour and a half long conversation. I didn't push it any further than that, but how would you guys, I'll ask this, we'll do a quick round table. Dredd, if you got to that point in the conversation, would there be anything else that you would ask at the end of that? And how would you go from there?
Well, I would probably, just ask the person to reflect, or if they were willing to reflect, and then maybe we could have another conversation in a week or so.
Man, that's great. I should have asked that.
Yeah.
That was one.
Because, that kind of subject, you really have to grok it, right?
Yeah. You're going to have to explain that. I know it's a Pasiferian term, maybe.
No. Grok? Grok. It's talking. From... Robert A. Heinlein's Stranger in a Strange Land.
Right.
Classic science fiction. Anyway, grokking is a term that kind of embodies a sense of understanding, but so much more deeply. Mm. On big questions of philosophy and whatnot, I tend to use the word grok for trying to really absorb a concept or really try to,
get your head around it.
Get my
nice. I love that. I love that. I love it.
I would encourage that person then to grok it for a while and then come back and see what they had to say.
That's really good. The invitation to come back, I think, is a really good touch. I will work on that. Scott, what would you recommend?
That was a great question you just asked, because I asked Anthony Magnabosco the same question regarding that in my interview with him a few weeks ago. And he told me that probably from the outset of the conversation, the first thing you want to know is, are they interested in knowing the truth or not? Are they more interested in the truth, or are they more interested in their beliefs? And if you can get them to say, no, I want to know the truth, then at that point, you kind of have license to talk about you know, kind of explore why then do you not want to test it? You said that you want to know the truth, and how are you going to, what method are you going to use to get to the truth of this? And because if you don't want to test it, then it seems like what you're saying, we know you don't have to say this, but it just seems like what they're saying is they don't really want the truth. They want their belief.
They want their belief. You know, I did ask that plainly. I was asking like, hey, do you want your beliefs to be true? And he was like, what do you mean? It's like, do you want like everything in this holy book, the Bible, to be true? And he's like, well, I just know they're true. I don't think whether I want them or not is a factor. I'm like, so you don't know if you want this to be true? It's like, I just don't think it's an important point. And I'm like, how bizarre is it that there's a Christian who doesn't want the tenets in the Bible to be true? Like, how? Mm-hmm. I've never heard of such a being before. It's like, okay, well, yeah, I want them to be true. It's like, you want them to be true. Like, that would make sense to me, right? It's like, yeah. And it's like, okay, well, I feel like there's clearly some bias then if there was conflicting opinions or conflicting facts. If you have a desire for something to be true, you know, from a scientific perspective, you have hypotheses, but you're not married to the hypothesis. It's just a, I need to set up a test and we'll figure out if it fits or if it doesn't fit, but I'm not committed to either one. I'm going to try to test as objectively as possible. But if I want something to be true and I am faced with evidence or facts that it's not true, I might, due to my ego or bias, mm-hmm. try to ignore those or look for more information. Yeah,
confirmation bias.
It's confirmation bias at the end of the day. Right. Doubter Five, you have a more argumentative approach, but you also, you got your nice hearty moments. If you got to the point where he's a guy who believes he's talking to a God, admits that maybe I'm just afraid to find out that I'm wrong, how would you go from there?
I don't know. I mean, if he's afraid and he admits that he's afraid, all you can do is accept what he says and move on, I guess. Just tell him, keep an open mind. But if I might mention the things that I mentioned earlier about how dangerous it is to think that you have the voice of God in your head.
Hey, that's not bad.
You know, but after that, you know, it's up to him, I guess.
Yeah, how about this? Next time God tells you to do something and it involves hurting somebody, call me. Yeah, and we can talk about it first, about right. that. And take some time to grok it, and we can come back to it at a later date, for sure. Okay. George Brown, does this whole conversation sound incredibly foreign to you or alien to you? Like,
it does. It does, and it doesn't, because now you all know that I live in the Bible Belt here, and as a person who's spent most of my life living on the coasts, you know, by the ocean, one place or another, being here in the Bible Belt is kind of a shock. It's taken me a long time to acclimate to the prevailing winds of reality that are unreal around me. So, you know, there are places around here that have signs that say the truth shall set you free.
Mm.
And that's not my truth. That's somebody else's truth. And, you know, so there's the question, can we even have a dialogue?
Can we even have a dialogue? Well, we can definitely try.
Yeah. And we're here in a country where this is a democracy, you know, and we affect each other with our beliefs at the voting booth.
Yep.
And so there are real consequences to what people believe. And I don't have an answer. I'm stumped. Yeah.
I also feel like there's a responsibility for the diet of information that you allow it to ingest. And a lot of that comes with like cable news as your means with informing yourself, or, you know, taking a bit more responsibility and trying to find better cited news sources or opinions or and stuff like that, or being able to parse opinion and entertainment from factual sets of dates and stuff.
But and the internet is loaded with websites have very slanted information on them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there's always an agenda, so you have to be able to see like, where's that agenda and where can I lie with it? And then ultimately, what's the most important thing for us to be able to do as a country? Because democracy, if we ain't learned anything, is fragile. And deserves to be protected. So,
and guys, is our atheism a religion, in fact?
George Brown, I'm going to throw it out at you. Is there anything that you'd like to recommend that anybody check out before the end of, before this week? For this week, would you recommend anything for this week?
Yeah. try to find wisdom within the belly of the monster.
Ooh. You know, you can find wisdom in better places, but sure, why not? There's lots of places.
I want to
find the monster in my belly. Yeah. You can go to Walmart and find.
In other words, go into the inner workings of the Catholic Church, for instance, and see if you can find some wisdom in there. I'll bet you can. You know,
you could, but I guarantee you, the same wisdom that's there is freely available in every other place you look for wisdom, and that's
I've been reading.
Why do you need the Catholic Church?
I'm very fond of Sufi teaching stories.
Sure,
I find a lot of old time wisdom in some of them. Sure. So,
Doubter Five, what's up with you? I hope you feel better by next week.
Oh, thank you. I hope so.
Yeah. Keep sniffling. Get all those germs out and crank it up and then feel better. Grok, put a grok on it.
We'll try.
I'm there too, but I'm hoping I can just will myself back into normalcy. Scott Williamson, keep me updated on these sound engines and control box and synth waves and stuff like that. What's something that you'd recommend for us to check out before the end of next week?
Yeah, just you know, my new record release came out last week, so I put it up on my dubshine.bandcamp.com site. Man, I put a lot of passion and imagination into a lot of my music, and I want people to check it out, support me. You know, it costs us a few cents to download one. That would make me feel awesome. You know, and I've been getting a lot of downloads and people commenting and things like that and contacting. So I'm just really grateful for that. I encourage people to keep doing that. That's like the engine for me,
you know,
to
as
keep
an
doing it. Yep.
As give that name again, creator, would you?
It's dubshine.bandcamp.com.
For online content creators, a little bit of love goes a long way. And sometimes that's just a good comment that's like, hey, I listened to your stuff and it sounded good. If I got a comment like that on the music that I got, I'd be like, wow, that's awesome. I'm still making the music for me, but it's so nice that there's other people who are into it and also enjoying that as well. And that just is such a great motivator. So take some time, spread some love, and on the things that you like, make sure you let the artists or the creators know. Dread Pirate Higgs, I've been spending this entire day watching that little plushy toy stare right back at me.
Our new lord.
Yeah, what would you suggest that we check out before next week?
Okay, well, I've got a couple things. I mean, you can find this live stream on Sundays at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm also now the new Pastafarian correspondent for the Global Atheist News,
cool,
which is produced through Free Thought through John Richards. Congrats on your recent interview with him, Scott Williamson. That was good.
All right. So check me out. I'm Let's Chat. You can see plenty of my videos and this show regular every week. And thank you so much for listening. Doubter Five, why don't you take us out?
All right. My own content is found online at the Digital Free Thought Radio. I'm sorry, digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button for our radio show archives, Atheist Songs, and many articles on the subject. My book is Atheism, What's It All About? It's available on Amazon. If you have any questions for the show, please send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org. If you're a member of clergy, a preacher, pastor, or priest, but no longer believe in the claims of religion, you're no longer trapped. There is help for you at theclergyproject.org. That's theclergyproject.org. And if you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. This has been the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye.